Many people went to Israel after October 7 to support, to give to financial help, give emotional help. They went to see people, you know, families of the hostage or the evacuees. There is 300,000 evacuees who left from the north and the south. It's talking about thousands and thousands of people are sitting in hotels. It's already 4 months. They don't know when it's going to be the end of it.
And no talk of it either.
Nobody even talks about it.
Hundreds
exactly.
Of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands of people. And don't know what was going to be. Sit with a kid, with a family of 3 kids in a hotel room. You don't walk. Your wife doesn't walk. And you don't know where, what, where, nothing. And they go there to visit them. And they see something very interesting. They come to give him support, right? And they're shocked to hear from the Israelis. So tell them, you know, I'm so worried about you guys. In America, there's so much anti-Semitism. Are you surviving it? How are you going to do this? And they like shocked. And said, you know, we are in Israel at least. Come to Israel. We are together. It's one family. You there, are you going to make it? It's getting only worse. Hmm. And you like, the people come back, they tell me, I never saw such a thing. This guy is sitting in a hotel. He doesn't know where he's going or where he's coming. How he's going to survive. His business is out. He lost his job. And he's worried about me. I'm coming from America. That is how much the hate is in America. There is a story about, there was a very famous Hasidic rabbi who lived like close to 300 years ago. His name was Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. Berdichev is a city. He was first of all a great, great scholar, Talmudic scholar. Not every Hasidic rabbi was a great Talmudic scholar. He was a great Talmudic scholar. In addition to it, he had a voice. He had a musical talent, one of a kind. Hmm. You ever heard about Yudi Menuchin? There was a... somebody who played a clarinet, and he was a very famous singer, and he died in 1999, Yudi Menuchin. He was very famous in America, and he was a descendant of this rabbi, and he got his talent in music. Then the rabbi was a great scholar, and an unbelievable singer, but he was known for, not for this. He was called the defender of Israel. He always found something nice to say about every Jew. I think I told you that about it in the past. He always, every situation, he turned it around. The story goes that once he saw a Jew standing with his tefillin and talus, and he was a wagon driver, and he prepared the horse and the wagon to the right. Now, you prepare the horse, you pray, what is going on here? We did feel with everything. Everybody would go out, shame on you, what are you doing? He says, he turns to God, he says, look, God, what kind of wonderful children you have. Even when they papir the all says, they say Shema Israel. It's how you look at it. So, oh, there is another story about him that once he saw a Jew on Yom Kippur eating. He told him, maybe you don't know it's Yom Kippur today. He tells him, no, Rabbi, I know. Maybe you don't feel good and therefore you have to break your fast. No, I feel I'm strong, I'm healthy. Maybe you don't know that Jews on Yom Kippur don't eat. He says, no, Rabbi, you know. He tells him, who doesn't know? Every child knows. By now, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak just told the guy, this God, look what wonderful Jewish kids you have. Even a guy who is eating on Yom Kippur is not ready to lie. He says the truth. He never allowed to find something wrong. And he made it his business. His whole life, and that's why he's so known. I mean, there is many Hasidic rabbis, there is many scholars, and he had a lot of talent, but he's known for his love of Israel. But he said something once very interesting. You know, Passover is the name the holiday we call Pesach, right? Pesach. That's the name that the Jewish people call it. God in the Torah calls the holiday Chag HaMatzot, the holiday of Matzah. Chag HaMatzot, that's the name of the holiday. Then the question is, why Jews adopted another name? God gave it a name. God tells about the story that he passed over on the Jewish homes. All nice and fine. But what the name, he writes clearly, the holiday of Matzahs. Wouldn't it be nice that we should use the same name? And in the prayers we actually use it, but in our lingo, we use the name Pesach. Why we don't use the name of the of Matzot? That Levi Yitzchak said something amazing. He said like this. What does matzah remind us? Matzah reminds the world that the Jewish people left Egypt with a few crackers.
Difficult times.
And went to desert, that faith in God, they didn't think it was going to be, we were going to take medication for the elders, we will take diapers for the babies, no questions. Moses says, let's go to the desert, and everybody's going with a few matzahs. And this shows, when you say matzah, it represents the strength of the Jewish people, that they were ready to do anything for God. What is Pesach? Pesach is God passed over for the Jewish people and saved them and took them out from Egypt. He says God always speaks about, he points out the beauty of the Jewish people. He calls it Chag HaMatzot. We call it Pesach. We remember
that's what God did for us.
We give him credit and he gives us credit. That's the beauty of this world. And this is what the Jewish people are. They are always giving credit to the other side. And this idea we see in the parsha of this week. It's really unbelievable. And it's named, the Rebbe said it, in the name of his father. His father said, and his father's name was also Levi Yitzchok. Rebbe's father's name was Rabbi Levi Yitzchok also. The same name. And he says there is, you know, in this parsha, Truma. You read it?
No, but I know.
You remember?
I read
it. It's about building here the temple.
Yeah, it's...
It's boring, isn't it? This week, actually,
collection to build.
Actually, I studied with somebody the parsha. He finished to read it. He tells me, "Oh, I'm so glad it wasn't my bar mitzvah parsha."
Right, it's worse.
You're right. It is worse. He doesn't know that.
Right.
You know, when you'll come to worse, to the leprosy, you'll know that it could be much worse than
right.
that. Then in the parsha, he speaks about building the temple. The first thing that Moses says is building the ark. I mean, God tells Moses, building the ark. Why the ark? This is the most important piece in the furniture in the temple. Actually, before he gives him even the measurement of the temple, he starts speaking about the furniture. The ark, right away. And he says, you should make the ark. It's basically a box. The ark is a box. One box of gold, then wood, then another. It has to be gold from outside, from inside. And then he says, in this ark, you put the tablets. And then he said, on top of it will be a cover made of gold. And on top of the cover will be the two cherubs, who look like two babies. And then God gives the whole order, and he says, and from there, from the cherubs who is on top of the Ark of the Covenant, I will speak to you, Moses. From there will be the place that I'll speak to you. That will be the meeting place. Sounds very simple. But Jews read every word in the Bible and pay attention to every word. The same thing is written in the book of Numbers, the end of Parshat Naso. It's written again, there is a line, a verse that says, and when Moses comes to the Temple Mount, he will speak, God will speak to him from the Ark of the Covenant and from the two cherubs. Then people pay attention, see something that's subtle different. In our parsha, when God speaks to us, he mentions the cherubs and then the Ark of the Covenant. There, he mentions the Ark of the Covenant and then he mentions the cherubs. See, what's the difference? Why changes? You know, the Torah, we learned every... That's what the Talmudic rabbis spoke about. Every letter is calculated. The Rebbe Yitzchok, the Rebbe's father, said something amazing. He said like this, and God speaks from his perspective, how he's going to speak to Moses. You know what the cherubs represent? The two faces of babies. They represent the Jewish people. That God loves the Jewish people like a parent loves a baby. What's the difference a parent loves a baby or loves an adult? An adult child, he also loves them. But he's accountable for his behavior. It's a conditional love to a point. You no matter what, you love him unconditionally. But there is more, you have expectations of him. Of your baby, he makes dirty, he poops on all over. You no matter what he's doing, you love him and you hug him and you kiss him. God made the cherubs to say that he loves the Jewish people, unconditional love, like a parent loves a baby. Then when he speaks about the cherubs in the ark, he mentions first the cherubs, the Jewish kids, the Jewish people. Then he says the Ark of the Covenant, the tablets represent God. Then he mentions himself first. Then he mentions himself. First mention his children, then he mentions himself. When the second time in the Torah, it's written from Moses' perspective. When Moses is coming to the temple to speak to God, to hear God's word, he starts with God, with the Ark of the Covenant. Then he mentions the cherubs, he mentions himself. And this is the same idea as with Pesach and the Matzot. We give credit to God, God gives credit to us. We mention God first, and God mentions us first. Like in a good marriage, when somebody says, oh, you have such wonderful children, you say, it's my wife's credit. You give your wife credit. Your wife says, oh. Sometimes, she says, you're my husband, he deserves credit for this too. Sometimes, depends on the day. Then, in a good relationship, that's what you do. You even in business partners, you give credit to your workers and say, yeah, yeah, I did it all. You give credit to everybody else. Then you're next. You're number two. You're always the other person before you. And that's why when you come to Israel and they tell you, what's it you guys? It's not that they don't know that they're much worse off. They know that the Jew in America comes. He comes for a week. He's going back. Yeah, there's anti-Semitism. But it's in the Jewish DNA to care for the other before you care for yourself. To put God, to put your friend, to put anybody else beside me. It's not me. I'm not number one. I'm always in the end of the line. I let other people first, then I put myself. And when the more we do this, the more we get the same thing from God.